because let me give you the title. This will be Seeing Jesus Part 6. And you guys can figure we're just in Genesis 2, and we're going to go all the way through Malachi, so we're probably not going to be done by the end of June. Probably maybe the end of June next year. But I just want to show you something, because we lose focus sometimes, but I'm going to put it up here on the board, because I want to show you something and show you how this thing came about. Because, you know, the last time we were talking about Adam and Eve. And the big point there was, where did Eve come from? Where did Eve come from? Eve came from Adam. She didn't come from the dirt. She came from above. And that's very, very important. And the thing that we showed up with was, why was there a need for Eve? Because God had something in view. You know, right there in Genesis 1 and 21, everything that moveth was going to do what? Bring forth after his kind. And remember now, all this that I'm telling you is the type of the shadow, because the purpose of this whole thing was what? Was the increase of the seed. And when I say the increase of the seed, I want to give you the scripture here of the purpose of God. Everybody's talking about purpose, right? Come into our church, find out the purpose. Well, it's right here in Genesis. I'm not making this up. This, you want to find out what your purpose is. Purpose is to bring forth the increase of the seed. That's the purpose of the church. That's why Eve was created in type and shadow. So right here, and I'm just going to make a little note up here on the board. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. I'm in 126. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, cattle of the air. Verse 28. Here's where I want to go. Genesis. I'm just going to put this up here. 1 and 2:8. What is the purpose here? What did God say to them? Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. And multiply. So right here in the beginning, and it says, and replenish. Let me just write this down. Replenish the earth. Right here in Genesis, guys. I mean, if you're reading the same Bible I am, right here is the thing set forth, Roger, right out of the get-go. Right? I mean, this right here is the purpose of God. Here's his eternal purpose. He started out with the eternal purpose of God right here. I mean, first off, I got to convince. I hope that you're convinced of that. This, I mean, we think this is a mandate for us. But guys, remember, this is type and shadows, because this is speaking of one, isn't it? He's speaking of another man. Whom he's speaking of here is not the first man. This is about the second man. This is, the first man was type and shadow. This is to the second man. Let me say this. To the second man. Now, who's the second man? The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. From heaven. And so what's the purpose of the second man? This is God's eternal purpose. Increase. Of, I'm just going to write the seed, but remember, the seed was according to kind. This is God's eternal purpose right here. I don't know if you guys can see that. I mean, I hope everybody can see it. That's the purpose of God right there. That's God's eternal purpose. Now notice what it's not. When I say notice what it's not, because we think, okay, it's all about us getting to heaven. It's about this. It's about getting a bunch of people saved. And now all these things are going to find their place. But in what accord? With this purpose. Why did Eve come? Why was Eve created? Because there was not a helpmeet. There was not a suitable kind to this second man. So God had to make one, and He made one of the same sort right out of the side of Adam, or right out of the side of Christ, created a bride. That's why it says that's why Nicodemus, when he come there, asking these questions, and he said, Jesus told him, you must be born again. You must be born from above. What do you mean born from above? Because Nicodemus, you're the wrong kind. You can't even see the kingdom. Because you're the wrong kind. You must be born from the Spirit. You must be born from this other thing. Remember, we were talking about heaven and earth the last time, and about it being two different kinds. So let me just... God's eternal purpose. When I say the increase of the seed, we know that seed is Christ. It's His Son being glorified in a people. That's the increase of Christ. And I want you to see this type of shadow. And the reason I put it up there, because I don't want to lose focus of this goal. Because I'm going to bring the cross into this picture here. But I want you to see it. Now we have all these types and shadows, and the reason they're there is so that we can see the fulfillment in Christ. See, if we lose focus of this purpose right here, man, we'll have all kinds of things out there in front of us that we'll be filling in the blanks with our own imagination. So in Adam and Eve, we see a purpose. And up to this point, over here in Genesis 2, what does God say about all of this? He said it's good. All of it. The whole thing here, the Adam, the Eve, well, before Eve comes into the picture, but all the trees and the birds and the rivers and the mountains and everything, and Adam, God looks at it and says, it's good. It's good. But then we get in Genesis 2 and 18, and he makes a statement here. Everything is good but one. There is something that is not good. What do you mean it's not good? And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmate for him. Well, I mean, listen to that statement. This is God saying it's not good that the man should be alone. Now, keep in mind, what man are we talking about? Because in the types and shadows, it's always looking towards the second man. The second man is the Lord from heaven. You see that in Corinthians 15. And then God says, look, I will make a helpmate for him. I'm going to do it. Now, I showed you this verse a couple weeks ago. I'm going to show you again. It's Romans 5, 14, just the last half. It talks about the death reign from Adam to Moses. Even over them that had sin, that's the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who was the figure of him that was to come? I just wanted to show you, because Adam was the figure of him that was to come. Don't lose sight of that. Adam here in this book of Genesis was the figure, the type, the shadow of the one to come. The one to come was Christ. So God is giving you some view right here in Genesis 2:18 of his feelings toward this man, isn't it? God looks at this man, the second man, who is the Lord from heaven, and says, something's not good. It's not good that this man should be alone. Listen, he's not talking about Jesus being lonely and needing some friends to play with. See, that's how we look at it. You know, like when we have our kids. Oh, well, he's lonely. He needs somebody to play with, so we'll make him a little sister or a little brother. You know what I mean? That's not what he's saying here. But you can see something that's true of the types and shadows. And if we're not careful, here's what we'll do with the type and shadows. As soon as we don't see something, we'll fill in the blank. I mean, we just will. It's our nature to fill in the blank. Never jump ahead of light. Never. Because what happens if you jump ahead of light? You're in darkness. You walk into darkness, you fall. No, you can't work in the darkness. So this whole picture here that we see is about the increase of the second man. It's the increase of Adam. It's the increase of Christ. And God providing the means for that increase. I will make a helpmeet for him. And I know that love and all those things is in the picture. Denise is talking about. But why? I mean, I know that God, that this is not a stale thing. Well, I just need a wife so I can have a baby. I know that love and all those, because what is the picture of love? The picture of love, guys, if I had to describe it in one word other than to use the word Christ, it's give. Gave, give, it's give. He gave his life. Christ loved the church and what? Gave his life for it. So the word is give. Give. But what is the thing that's in view right here? And we have Adam, we have Eve, we have the means provided. To what end are we looking for? Increase. Right here. So this whole thing that is set up right here, I mean, guys, I'm just jumping ahead, but on the ark, I mean, even everybody on the ark knows he had to take seven of the clean beasts. Why seven? So he could make sacrifices, but two of the unclean, both what? Male and what? Female. So that when they come out of the ark, they could replenish the earth. So we're talking about increase here. See, we forget about that. We think the goal is to get me from A to B. That's the goal. God, I hope I went from A to B. That's the whole goal. Brothers and sisters, right here is the goal, God's purpose right out of the gate, laid down in Genesis. I mean, this is the focal point, to be fruitful and multiply, replenish what? The earth? And the creation of Eve. Eve being brought about was to what end? It was part of God's desire to do what? Bring about this increase. I mean, this woman here that he makes, Eve, is she loved? Absolutely. Is she provided for? Absolutely. Is she cared for? Absolutely. Is she covered? Absolutely. Absolutely. But to what end? Why did God even make her? What was the purpose of her coming into this picture? Because it wasn't good for this man to be alone. Now, we got to keep that in mind, because I'm going to keep coming back to this thing right here. I don't want us to lose sight. So we got this woman here. She's covered. She's loved. I mean, and are we? Are we beloved in Christ? Are we loved of God in Christ Jesus? Are we covered in Christ? Are we all those things of the bride of Christ? Absolutely. But what's the purpose? What's the focus? What's the focus point here? The focus point is the increase of that seed, and that seed is Christ. So it's never going to be Eve as the center of the picture, is it? Even in John, even in the book of Revelation, when he saw the church, the candlesticks, the church, did he see the church in the middle and Jesus? No. He saw the one likened to the man, likened to the Son of Man, standing in the midst. So it's always going to be this one here as the center. So when he says it's not good for the man to be alone, again, he's not talking about, I got to go get some friends for Jesus so he can have somebody to play with. He's talking about God's desire, and God's desire was to have the increase of one in many. The increase of one in many. The increase, I mean, there's many members, but one body. So, stay with me. So all these terms that we see here in the Old Testament, what God desires for his son. That's who the seed is, the son. He desires a kingdom for his son, and a priesthood for his son, and an inheritance for his son, and a harvest for his son. And we see all these biblical words walked out in types and shadows given to people that we'll be looking at as we go. But all these things that God laid out to Abraham and Isaac and David and all of that, all those things were promised to this one. It was all given to him. Then God fulfills all of those things that he promised in his son. I mean, you go read Psalms and read, man, that's Jesus. Even though it may have been written by David, or Aleph, or one of those others, that's the desire and heart of Christ coming through as people being penned in words. It's not all. I mean, when he said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning, we jump at that scripture. That was Jesus on the cross, weeping. Where was Jesus in the garden? Jesus did what? He was weeping. His sweat became great drops of blood. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Morning of what? Morning of resurrection. We may quote them scriptures, and that's all well and good, and be partakers, but you're partaking of something that he fulfilled. I'm not saying that our weeping means nothing. Don't get me wrong right there. But you're just partaking of the heart of Christ. God fulfills these things in his son. How does he fulfill these things in his son? By doing what? Bringing many sons to glory. Bringing many sons with him. He says that right there in Hebrews. He gives these things to people. Let me show you something here in Galatians. In Galatians, where we've been studying here on Wednesday night. We've been in Galatians for what, 3-4 weeks, Kathy?
Yeah.
45 weeks. Oh, I couldn't remember how long it was. And we haven't even made it into this verse yet, but here it is, Genesis 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And just to skip down to verse 19. Now beforehand we got the promises made to the seed. And then he asked this question, wherefore then service the law? Why was the law added? It was added because of transgression. We're going to see this transgression right here. Because I've got purpose laid out here before a transgression ever comes in, right? So I've got a promise made to Abraham before a transgression. Right here I've got a purpose and a promise made. I will provide him a helpmeet. I will provide. I've made a promise before we ever even have a sin, a transgression to come in view. Why then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. Till when? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. You see, now stay with me. Stay with me. You see, the promises, yeah, the promises were given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The promises were given to natural Israel. But they spoke of an eternal covenant. They spoke of something eternal right here. So if you try to make the promises eternal, then you must see them in the eternal one. Right? I mean, you have to see them. See, this is one of the problems today, because people think that when he said, I'm going to make a temple, that's why they're in arms over there in Israel right now, because the Muslims have a mosque over there where the natural temple was. And they think, wait a minute, something's messed up with the eternal promises of God. And you got to see the promises fulfilled in the eternal one. If he wasn't talking about dirt, Clyde. When he said land, he wasn't talking about a piece of dirt over there. He wasn't even talking about a natural river. He wasn't talking about a natural mountain. He was not talking about a natural temple. That's why Jesus said, tear this temple down in 3 days, raise it up again. This he spake of his body. He says it in John chapter 2. And people still turn around and see, well, he must be talking about that temple. How much more plain can you get? But see, the natural mind wants something that they can grab a hold of, something to touch and feel and say, this is real. That's why he said, listen, guys, by faith we look at the things unseen. You haven't come to a mountain that can be touched, but you've come to one that is only seen by faith. We want it to be everything else. We don't want faith. We want reality. Listen. Faith sees reality. It all points to this one. God destroyed that old temple and raised up the true temple. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, know ye not? I mean, a question to him. Know ye not? Don't you know this? Ye are the temple of God. Come on, church. Ye are the temple of God. Now, in old natural Israel, where did God dwell? You would ask Israel, where is the God of thy fathers? Every one of them would have pointed and says, we meet him right there in the most holy place. He dwells between the cherubim. They wouldn't have pointed here or there or here. And Paul says, know ye not, ye are the temple of the living God? So God never changed his mind from this, did he? God didn't say, okay, well, let's go out and I want to have the increase of my son in a people. I want my son to multiply and replenish the earth. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, I don't want to do that. I've changed my mind. I'm going to do something else, God. I'm going to do something else. Did he ever change his mind from this? So this is the eternal plan and purpose of God from the get-go. No, I changed my mind, Roger. I'm going to destroy all this. I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm sick and tired of it. Everything God did was with this in view. Everything. I'm going to show you. God didn't change his mind. God didn't change his covenant. He just brought it into fulfillment and realization that the types and shadows pointed to. And he fulfilled that in his son, Jesus Christ. So when he says it's not good for man to be alone, he wasn't talking about Adam. He was talking about the second man, which is the Lord from heaven. And God would provide that means. So the remedy for the first, the remedy for it's not good for man to be alone, in types and shadows in Genesis, was what? For him to make him a helpmeet, and for them to multiply and bring forth after their own kind. Okay, now if that was type and shadow, then what is the remedy that we're talking of for the second man? It's the same thing. The remedy for the second man, which is the Lord from heaven, the remedy for it not to be good is for God to make him a helpmeet called the church. And for the man and the woman that Paul is talking about in Ephesians to come together and to bring forth after their own kind and what? Fill the earth. Get the location right. Where's the location? Now guys, I'm just bringing this right out of Genesis. Types and shadows, it was for Adam to replenish the earth. Type and shadow for Christ and the church to do what? Replenish the earth. The church today wants to leave. You want to leave purpose. The purpose is this right here. God hasn't changed His purpose. But I'm going to show you. We talked about that some last time we were here, but that brings us up here to a dilemma. Because now I've got Adam, I've got Eve, they're in a garden. They can freely eat of everything in that garden but one. So I got two trees that's coming into view here. So we got to look at these trees. So I got a tree of life that's given of God. And the tree of life is given of God so that they can eat, so that they can live by what? Partaking of the life of another. The tree of life, I mean, that's love right there. I'm giving you this, Adam and Eve, and you can partake of my life. Or, there's another tree over here called the knowledge of good and evil. Seen something last night I've never seen before. You know, I love to see things I've never seen before. It kind of, you know, rocks your world. Well, I mean, why is it called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why this name? Just wondering. I mean, what does this mean? Because Adam had a choice. He could eat by the tree of life. He could eat. He could live by the life of another. Or he could eat of this other tree. This other tree where he could live by his own understanding. His own understanding of what? Good and evil. He could then begin to live by his own thoughts, his own reasoning. Now that's a true statement. But guys, I want to show you something deeper. Because we know as a result of Adam and Eve choosing to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, from what Satan told them down in the garden, the result of that was that they would live by their own understanding, by their own knowledge of good and evil. We see that perpetuated today in the earth. That's why we have so many different things that go on, so many different denominations. Well, I believe this is good. Well, I believe that's good. I believe this is evil. I believe that's evil. So we divide up in all of our understandings. What do you mean? I mean, some people think, well, gosh, if you wear blue jeans to church, that's evil. We would never do that. Well, I believe you can wear shorts to church if you want to. I believe, you know. So we live by our own understandings, and we start our own churches according to our own understanding. And God had warned them, if you do this, this will be the result. But there's something deeper here. Now, they ate of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know what was told them. I mean, they were tempted by the devil, and I don't want to get into all that. I just want to show you something right here. The devil said, if you eat this, you'll be like gods and all this other stuff. And you would think when they ate of this tree, that because everything's good up to this point. But in Genesis 3 and 7, look what it says. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. You would have thought when they ate of this tree, Kathy, that their eyes would have been darkened and they wouldn't have been able to see anymore. But that wasn't the case, Clyde. Now their eyes are open. Now their eyes are open. Now let me just jump over to verse 22 in Genesis 3 and 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. How's that? To know good and evil. I'm not going to read anymore. The man has become one of us to know, to have intimate knowledge of good and evil. Now listen, this is not Adam eating. When I'm saying Adam, guys, I'm saying Adam and Eve because they're one. This is not Adam eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and coming to his own understanding of good and evil. It's way more. This is Adam disobeying God and eating the wrong tree and then coming to God's view of the knowledge of good and evil. That's why his eyes were open. He just came to God's view of good and evil. Now, I don't know if it's... I mean, to me, God, this is huge. This is huge because it wasn't... Now, the result is you and I, we live by our understanding of good and evil. But this was way bigger. Adam came to God's view of what good and evil was. And what was the immediate result? I'm naked. See, we want to preach in the church. Who told you you was naked? You're not really naked. You're all of these other things. Guys, I'm going to go a different course today. This is Adam disobeying God and eating the wrong tree, coming to God's distinction of good and evil. I may have ripped this verse down wrong. I wrote Hebrews 5:14, and we talked about this in one of our Galatian classes. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. To them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Both good and evil. Good and evil. Because Lord, have mercy, I'm going to show you something today, guys, that you'll get a picture of what evil is and a picture of what good is. See, all Adam had knew up to this point was good. That's all he knew. That's all he had known was good. And now by eating of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he came to know evil. What evil did Adam come to know? What evil was there in the world? They weren't but two people. Did Adam just come to realize, hey, buying a six-pack of beer is evil? They didn't even have beer. They weren't but two people unless Eve had a little steel out back like Granny. Right? Adam didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, going to see an R-rated movie is evil. Can't do that anymore, Eve. Me and you ain't going to the movies. There wasn't no movie theaters. What was it that he came to see that was evil? Did he look around and say, oh, you know them bears over there, they're evil. Them snakes, they're evil. What was in the world, guys? There was not a building. There was not a car. There was not a movie theater. There was not a liquor store. There was Adam and Eve and everything else. So when he came to see what was evil, what was he looking at? He was looking at himself. Wow. Get a hold of that. He looked around and saw, you know what, guys? I am the only thing in this world that has broken from the purpose of God. I am the one that has stepped outside of this purpose. I am the only thing evil in existence. But see, you ain't supposed to say that in the church world, are you? I'm supposed to tell you how good you are and how great you are and all this other stuff. Well, here's old Adam, and now his eyes were open, and he said, my God, I'm the mess. I'm the trouble. I'm the evil. He came to know himself apart from God. I mean, and this is the first time when something of natural creation had broke from the purpose and provision of God. See, God already knew about good and evil, didn't he? I mean, God already knew about good and evil. God knew the serpent was there in the garden, didn't he? I mean, you know, he wasn't surprised. But see, up to this point of breaking away, I'm just going to write this or draw this little line here. That's a break. Up to this point, all Adam knew was good. But now, Adam has broken away. And what's he broke away from? He has broken, and this word from is direction, right? From, to and from, that's direction. He has went from this, and he's fallen. What did he fall from? He fell from purpose. Did he not? He fell from the eternal purpose of God. And now he fell from purpose. Now what was the purpose? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Now he's fallen from that. Now he's over here. See, up to that point, here's Adam. I'm just going to draw this little thing right here. Adam. And I'm going to put this little thing around here. Adam, that's his clothes. What was he clothed in? Adam was clothed with purpose. Adam was clothed with purpose. Now he's fallen from purpose. He's over here. What's the first thing he says? I'm naked. See, we're talking about him being nude because when God made him in the garden. So now Adam was in a place. Now you see what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about purpose. Adam fell from purpose. The purpose was right here to replenish the earth, multiply. Adam fell from that purpose. When he fell from that purpose, now he is not clothed upon any longer with purpose. Is this making any sense? See, over here, he was clothed in goodness. He was clothed with purpose. God even provided for him a way to fill that thing. All was good. But now when Adam ate, now he knew the other side. Now when Adam ate and he fell, what did he see? Because over here, all he knew over here was what? Good. Everything God made is over here. Nothing had failed. What was the only thing that failed? You see, I mean, if we got knowledge of good and evil, good is over here, and here's where Adam was. Now when Adam broke, what did he fall? Did he fall over here and become, you know, this or that? Man, when Adam looked around, he said, I'm the only one here. I'm the only thing over here. It must be me. Because everything else God made is right here and it's good. And I'm the only thing over here, so I'm the evil. So now, Adam has what? Adam has now got, and we're going to look this word here in a minute. I'm going to tell you what, you know how long I've practiced spelling that word? Conscience. He's got an evil conscience. Because see, I know what we do in the church. Well, evil. Evil means, oh, you got to get sin out of your life, and you got to stop doing this. How in the world did this come into creation right here? All Adam knew was good, but now his eyes were open. He knew the other side. And now he sees the contrast. Now he sees the contrast between the good and the evil. If he sees the contrast between the good and the evil, and he's the only thing over here, what's the contrast? He is. His eyes were open to himself. He saw himself, and what did he do when he saw himself? He went and hid. Tried to cover himself. Now, up to this point, everything God had made was good. Why was it good? Because it all pointed to the second man and the church. That's what it pointed. That's why it was good. It wasn't that God made a rock and said, wow, this is the best rock ever. It was because it pointed to Christ. He made a mountain and said, wow, that's a pretty mountain. No, because it pointed to Christ. He made a river. Why? Because it pointed to Christ. You see, it was all good. But now Adam is not pointing to Christ anymore, so not good. Evil. As a matter of fact, we are not even going to use not good, but evil. So does this give you a view now, a little bit of evil and good? Because good is what? Pointing to Christ. Pointing to the good. Evil is anything that's not. Now see, that gives me a little bit more scope because I knew what I had to find as good and evil in the church. Oh, he said a cuss word. That was evil. Oh, well, he read a Bible verse. That's good. Neither one of them has anything to do with anything. He's either pointing to Christ. He either is Christ. It's good. Or it's pointing to me. It's evil. See, all creation up to this point was in perfect harmony with God's eternal plan and purpose. It all pointed to the glory of this one. That's why Jesus, would talk about the living waters. Because all the waters pointed to him. That's why he could stand there and say, I'm the living water. That's why Jesus could look at all the vines that was out there growing in the world. All the vines, Clyde, and says, I'm the vine. So they were all good. They all pointed to him. That's why he could say, I'm the bread. I'm the rock. Couldn't he? And it was good because it pointed to him. All was good until Adam did what? Chose to try to be like God. Apart from God. Apart from God. Just try to be like God. At that moment, creation made its first break from what? Purpose. Adam opposed what God deemed good. And thereby, because what we got right here, what this increase of the seed is, I'm going to give you one word of what it's called, is glory. So it fell short of glory. My God, what is sin? Sin is, and you look this up, sin is that falls short of glory. Do you see that? Sin falls short of glory. Over here we got glory. Over here I've got sin. Over here, guys, I ain't got but one person over here. And who have I got over here? Adam. So listen, this is the reason I tell you, sin ain't things you do. It never was. That's why John the Baptist said the other one's coming. He'll lay the axe to the root of the tree. He's not going to come and prune some limbs off the tree. I mean, we've talked about this before. If I've got an apple tree and I want an orange tree, and every time that apple tree puts out an apple, I go knock it off. I still ain't got an orange tree. I've got the entire wrong tree. And there is no fixing that tree, is there? The only thing I can do is, because the apple is the wrong kind, I have to pull that tree up out of the garden and plant a whole new one. We call that the cross. Because Adam now, he's in a state of sin. He's in a state of fallen. What did he fall from? Purpose. He's in a state of an evil conscience. He's in a state of, all I know now is me. Adam ate. His eyes were open. He saw himself. He saw himself as the contradiction to God's purpose. He saw himself as the only thing that had broke away from the glory of God. Now that he had broken away, he became acquainted with only evil. He became acquainted only with himself. In other words, when Adam disobeyed God in order to know good and evil, he immediately saw the consequence of that choice. He saw that he himself had become the very evil represented in that tree. And he hid from God. And now he has a consciousness of himself. And a consciousness of himself is called an evil conscience. And he went to cover his shame with something else, didn't he? He went to cover his shame with fig leaves. And from that moment on, Adam became the source of himself. Adam went to do what? Cover himself. I'll go fix myself. I'll fix myself, guys. I know I'm naked. I know I messed up, Roger. But so now I'm going to go and fix myself. I'm going to cover myself. I made a mistake. I'm going to fix it. See, that tree, knowledge of good and evil, represents God's truth concerning good and evil, not Adam's ideal about good and evil. And the good of that tree was representing what? Everything pointing to Christ. And when Adam ate of that, he saw himself as the evil. He saw himself as the one that was what? Filled with the lie. He saw himself separated, independent from God, contrary to the purpose of God. He was no longer clothed upon with what was good. He was no longer a fitting part of this creation, was he? Now that he had fallen, he's no longer a fitting part of this creation. He's moved out of it. Now he's something that's fallen short. What are we going to do with him? When Adam ate of that tree, and something inward took place in him, it became an inward compulsion. He didn't just look down and say, oh, this thing was inward. I'm naked. Inwardly. Because they were already. Inwardly, he knew something had taken place. And what's the natural consequence of that? The natural consequence of this right here is called religion. I'm going to clothe myself. I'm going to do steps A through B. Steps 1, 2, 3. I'm going to clothe myself. I'm going to fix myself. God, you give me the Holy Spirit to help me. We try to cover our shame with something other than Christ. It's man trying to be like God apart from partaking of the tree of life. How do I know the difference? Well, let me just tell you this. Because we got an evil conscience right here. This evil conscience is a consciousness of me. So how would I know the difference in the church one? I'm just going to throw this out, guys, because I didn't know this either. But this is what it all comes down to. If where I'm going is making me feel better about me, it's religion. If it's making me feel better about me, It's evil conscience. It's religion. But if it's a way for me to die and find my life in Christ, find the tree of life, be clothed upon with Christ, then it's something you can grab a hold of. But if it's about me wanting you to feel better about you, it's religion. Because right here, Adam didn't know anything about himself, did he? He knew nothing about himself. All he knew was the plan and purpose of God to replenish the earth and multiply. But now he's in a state of, it's all about me. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That I, the ego, this evil conscience, I could say this. See, this was Paul's terminology. In today's society, we use this word. E-G-O. That's the same Greek word as I. Ego. That's the self-consciousness to come alive. That's why Paul said, I am crucified. The word I in the Greek is ego. So religion is just clothing yourselves with the leaves of religion. What's atheist? Well, now, brother, them people are real mean. No, they're hiding too. They're just hiding by saying God ain't real. It's the same thing in the Rogers. It's the same hiding. I'm going to cover myself with the leaves of religion, or I'm going to demand God's not real. Either way, I'm going to hide from him. It's what Adam does. Whatever you want to call it. Religion, atheism, same thing. From an evil conscience. That's why. Let me go to Hebrews here. Let me go to Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You remember on Wednesdays we were talking about consciousness and what it meant. It meant what your knowledge is joined to. Your knowledge is joined to. Adam's knowledge became joined to himself. So that was his conscience was created. Over here, his knowledge was joined to God's. But now that he's fallen, his knowledge is joined to himself. So therefore, an evil consciousness, an ego is born, is produced. Josh didn't know I was a psychology major when I was in middle school. But you see what I'm talking about. So now we have this consciousness, this knowledge. Now the knowledge is joined to itself. Over here it was joined to God. He was clothed upon. It was joined to God. Now it's joined to himself. Now it's all about him. So it's an evil consciousness. But he said having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. We done fallen from, so now we got to come back out of this one. Where? Back over here. That's why, I wrote these other verses down. I ain't going to have time to go through them all, but 1 Peter 3 and 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good consciousness towards God. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I just wish you'd let that verse just kind of... What was the answer of a good conscience towards God? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's... So what is the evil? Evil is not a bad thought you had. It's the you, it's the I. It's the I that you leave at the altar. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's the I you leave at the altar. The eye that you leave, what's the altar? The altar is the cross. Everybody in the church wants to come up to the altar. They just want to come up there for something, but you know, something needs to be left there. need to be left there. They didn't just listen. The Jews didn't go to the altar. I mean, I wish we could get this type and set, and we'd be looking at the Jews didn't go to the altar and say, you know what, God, I've had a real bad day. I've had a real bad day. When they come to that altar and said, listen, you don't come up in this place empty-handed. God told them it was a mandate, wasn't it, Kathy? None of them was going to come up in here empty-handed. When they come up into this place, something's going to be left on the altar. Blood is going to be shed. When you come to this altar, you don't come back off of it. Name one lamb that got up off the altar. Not a one. Name one bullock that they got up there and changed them. No, they was all. So when you come to the altar, you're not getting up off the altar. Now the answer of a good conscience towards God is what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He got up. Something was left and something got up. What was left? Me was left. He got up. A good conscience, it's not you being God, but it's your consciousness of the reality and the purpose and the truth and the life that was what? Lost in the garden. I gotta hurry. I'm hurrying. So what when this was lost in the garden, now, over here on this side, everything that begins to fill the soul is an evil conscience. Everything that natural man does is motivated by self-conscience. Everything that a man does is motivated by self-conscience. Self-love, self-preservation, self-attainment. If there was an Adamic car, here's an Adam car. Here's an Adam car. Well, that's a beautiful car, ain't it? There's an Adam car. Run on gasoline. Self would be the gas that run that car. Wouldn't it? Self would be the gas to run the Adamic car. Self's what runs that Adamic car. Everything man does apart from the life of Christ in our soul, life of Christ in our soul is entirely and fully towards self. Self is all that was left when Adam was stripped of the consciousness of God. That was all that was left over there, wasn't it? Adam, he was it. He was all that was left. So back over there in Genesis, when it says he was naked, it didn't mean nude. It wasn't the discovery of his own body. It was God. The nakedness he sees is the absence of what he had. He had done what? Fell from purpose. You know the old saying, you ever got embarrassed? What did people say? Man, I was so embarrassed I could have crawled under a rock and died. There's that. Adam was so embarrassed he could have crawled under a rock and died. His eyes were open. You remember, just to give you a little story, because this is what happened. You remember Peter, the great apostle Peter, denied the Lord three times, swore, Lord, I'm ready to go into death with you. Denied the Lord three times, and what happened to Peter? He wept bitterly. Jesus is crucified, he's buried. Some time goes by. Peter goes fishing. He's out there fishing. And one of the disciples looks on the shore and says, man, that's Jesus. Let me just show you the scripture. Because, I mean, here in John 21:7. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, cast himself into the sea. Now listen, he wasn't just saying, hey, I'm going to put my coat on, I'm going to go swim over to the shore and see Jesus. Think about where he just come from. His last encounter with Jesus was, Jesus, I'll go with you even unto death. Jesus starts getting beat on and spit on, his beard pulled out, and they said, hey, you're one of the disciples too. Well, I never knew the man. He even cursed. I don't even know him. Jesus looked at him right dead in the eyes, so that the next encounter he has with Jesus, what is his result? Oh my God. I'm naked. Clothes himself, jumps into the sea. Why? To hide himself. Religion. Now, yes, he goes on and comes to the shore. But what I'm telling you is, when you first begin to see Jesus, the first thing you realize is, I'm naked, I'm unclothed. And listen, when you really see Jesus, you don't run from the cross, you run to it. When you really see Jesus, you won't say, oh no, I'm getting away from this thing. You will realize your absolute lack and need to be clothed, need to be put away. You will run to him when you really see him. When you don't see him, then you think, well, I just need to get some things adjusted in my life. Get some things fixed. But that never works. Now let me go back over here. I'm almost finished. I'm getting close. Genesis 3:21. Here's the first picture of the cross in the scriptures. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. That's the first picture of the cross, right here in the scriptures. Blood had to be shed. Because this man was naked, he had to be covered. And how was he going to be covered? He was going to be, because the life is in the blood, isn't it? So he's going to be covered in what? The life of another. Life had to cover them, because now he's in a state of death. He's in a state of... So what had to cover him? Blood. Life had to cover him. My God, we're seeing another picture of love that he gave. Gave what? God gave his life. God gave that blood, washed in the blood, covered with the life of another. We see the picture of the tree. But here's something I want to show you. We got a picture of the cross here, clothed them with skins. What was it? What was the picture before sin came in? What was the goal? The goal was increase. Before the sin, there was a picture of increase. Why is this so important? Because the cross was necessary to get this man back to his purpose. Do you see what I'm getting at? Because man fell from purpose over here, the cross became necessary for this purpose to come about. So it wasn't the cross wasn't the main focus point. This was. But this become the means for this to take place. Amen. The cross became necessary to accomplishing the purpose of increase. Man has made the forgiveness of sins the end. Right? We've made the cross the end. Just you getting into church and going somewhere else, the end. But guys, this never changed. This was the whole purpose and plan from the beginning. This is how this was going to take place. Before sin even came into the picture, God's purpose was increase. And before sin ever came out, but there was no blood shed before sin. Blood was the means to the purpose, but not the purpose itself. And I'm not taking away from the cross, because the cross is what? The cross is the wisdom of God for obtaining that purpose. I mean, we're going to see the cross start coming into view as we go on these lessons. We're going to see the cross in Cain and Abel. We're going to see the cross in Noah, and on and on and on. Why? Because the cross becomes the means. This is what we call, this is the cross, and it is the what? Means to an end. Not the end itself. Right here. When I'm saying the end, I'm saying the goal. And what was the goal? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And the cross become the means for this to take place. What am I saying? Before God showed you the means, the cross, He showed you the end, the purpose, the increase. So we're born again. We're born by His blood, born by His cross. We're coming by His way. This is the way. Way to what? Way to this end. You see what I'm talking about? This is the last little bit. We think the way is the end. We think the cross is God's way to get a bunch of forgiven sinners. And that's our whole goal. God gets forgiven sinners for what purpose? To bring it back over here to this end. Now, let me show you something here, right here at the end. I'm going to talk to you just a little bit, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, about the curses. Because in Genesis 3, after he ate, there's a result. And the result is the curses. What we see here is two seeds. We see the seed of a woman, the seed of Satan. That's all we got, right? Two seeds. The seed of the woman. What's the seed of the woman? The seed of the woman is this one. And then we got over here, I can just write this right here. The seed of Satan. That's what we got. Because it says, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. On your belly, here you go. I'll put enmity between the woman, between thy seed and her seed. So all I got is two seeds. Now listen, when I'm talking about the seed of the Satan, the seed of the devil here, I'm not talking about a little men with pitchforks and little demons running around. And what I'm talking about is those who live by the lie. They're the seed of the Satan. See, because this whole thing over here is the lie, isn't it? Lie not one to another. This whole thing. So the seed of the devil here is those who live by the lie. That's why Jesus said in John 44, you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. The lust, his lust will you do. What was his lust? What did he desire? I'll be like God. What he's talking about here, guys, is two different natures. This seed, I've got a nature. This seed, I've got a nature. And the enmity is between the two seeds. I say that because people try to make it about the devil trying to ruin your day. Well, brothers, I would have went to church today, but the devil gave me a flat tire. I would have did good, but the Lord caused me to have, or the Satan, he's out to get us. He made my car not start. Satan's beef is with the seed, and that seed is Christ. So listen. What does Satan try to do? He tries to prevent the increase of the seed. So his whole goal is to prevent the increase of the seed. Paul would talk about this in the God of this world has done what? Blinded their minds. Blinded their minds from what? That they wouldn't see the glory of God. We're at in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So what does Satan have to do to prevent the increase of this seed. I mean, look at this board. What's up there? There's no bar rooms and beer and whiskey bottles and wild women up there. What is an evil conscience? It's a consciousness of me. So all the devil has to do to prevent the increase of the seed is get you thinking about you. That's why Paul said the subtleties of the devil. Oh, I felt the devil was out to fight me and get my car not going and stop me from going to church and doing all these. All he's got to do is get your mind off the Lord and get it back on you. This is religion 101, isn't it? Religion 101, I want to go to church and feel good about me. Man, the devil's already in, he's stopping that seed because it ain't about you. It's all about him and the increase of him. That's why Paul says, well, me, I've been cast down, forsaken. All of it, who cares about all that stuff? The death, his death worketh in me that his life may come forth. I'm crucified with Christ. What are you talking, me? I glory rather in infirmities, Paul said. Now look. Then he says something about the woman. To the woman that's going to bring forth this seed, he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception. What is he saying right there? Where's this thing fulfilled at? Well, we know when a woman has a childbirth, she suffers. But that's type and shadow, guys. Because there was a little virgin girl out there named Mary that brought forth. And 8 days later, she brought that to an old priest up there, Simeon. Simeon, who'd been waiting there years and years. And he looked and he says, my God, this is the salvation. I've waited for the consolation of Israel. And this right here is the salvation of Israel right here. I'm holding this little baby in my hand. And as he begins to circumcise that little baby, and I can just see them all around joy, you know, Mary and Joseph laying there and in joy. And he looks right at Mary and says, and a sword will pierce your soul too. What he's telling them when he says, thy conception will come about in sorrow, he is telling them now, the means to this is the cross. The means to this whole thing, Mary, now it's going to be the cross. Death now will be necessary for life. An end is needed before a beginning. That's why we have the evening and the morning for the first day. His death works in us to bring forth his life. And then the last curse, he said, man, Clyde, now, big boy, you'll eat by the sweat of your brow. You'll go out and you'll toil the earth, and thorns and thistles will be all it brings forth. What is the only answer for that? The only answer, my friends, for that toil and labor is a little thing called the Sabbath. There is therefore a rest of God left unto the people of God. Labor therefore to enter into what? His rest. You've entered into his rest when you've done what? Ceased from your own labors, because he said it's not good for man to be alone, but I will provide. Isn't that what he told Abraham? I will provide myself the means for this to take place. Does that make any sense, guys? To me, man, it's just awesome. It's just flat awesome. But listen, guys, I'm going to get out of the way. And I thank you guys for coming out. I'm sorry to take so long, but when you get all these things, guys, you gotta go, and you gotta try to explain some, because I want you to see it. Let's not lose focus of what the purpose is. The purpose of the church, the purpose for us being here, the whole purpose and will of God is what? The increase of that seed, the increase of Christ in you. Paul said, I labor, I'm in travail to what? Christ be formed in you. That's the whole thing, guys. It ain't forgiven sinners. All of that stuff is a means But the end is, guys, that Christ feel, that Christ be all in all. That's the goal, Clyde. That's the goal. That Christ be all in all. So when we begin to see that, the means is the cross. So, Denise, you got anything you want?